ABC Radio Australia.
In March last year, Zoe Stevens, originally from the UK, flew into Nuku'alofa to spend a weekend in Tonga. But after living in China for 2.5 years, she decided to do some travelling around Asia and then Fiji and finally on to Tonga. But her timing couldn't have been worse because her arrival coincided with the confirmation of the first COVID-19 case in Fiji, a development which persuaded the Tongan government to put the whole country into what was a very harsh lockdown. And Zoe has been stuck in Tonga ever since, although she has taken to Facebook to stress that stuck is a word that can be interpreted in many ways. So to tell us more about her story, Zoe Jones and me down the line from Nuku'alofa. Good morning, Zoe.
Good morning. Good morning from sunny Tonga.
Zoe, I have to ask, when did you realise that getting out of Tonga during a pandemic was potentially going to be a lot harder than getting in?
Literally the first day that I arrived, the pandemic, the first cases were reported in Fiji. I tried to leave the next day, actually. And from then on, it got very difficult to leave. I couldn't leave even after the first day that I came here.
And when you did arrive in Tonga, bearing in mind that you had just come from Fiji, where a COVID case was confirmed, were you received well? Was there a little bit of hesitancy? How was that situation like?
There was a lot of hesitancy, which I completely up until Fiji declared its first case. The South Pacific was really COVID-free up until this point. So Fiji was the first country to kind of confirm a COVID case. So, of course, me just coming from Fiji and a foreigner coming into the country, of course, there was going to always be a little bit of definitely people wanting to keep their distance, which I totally understand.
And, you know, you made your way to Tonga and arrived with very few belongings, very few possessions to your name, intending just to stay for a couple of days. I believe that you left behind your glasses as well as a couple of your reading Kindle as well. How have you been sort of dealing with the situation that you found yourself in, and who have you turned to help you in the situation?
It's all part of the challenge, and that's kind of fun. It's obviously... Tonga is a very isolated country anyway in normal times, and in normal times you still have to rely on container ships and on flights coming in on a regular basis to bring to the island. But obviously you still can't have all of your home comforts, and that has been something that has been really humbling to kind of learn about and kind of explore and just pretty much deal with what you have here. And also just try and make the most of it. And of course, turning to the local people. When I arrived here, I didn't have any friends, family, colleagues. Unlike a lot of foreigners that first come here, they at least have some colleagues. But I turned to the local community, my Australian mum and dad. I'll say I stayed with them when I first came here, and they helped me out a lot. So big shout out to them. Just everyone in the community have been really welcoming and really helpful.
I'm talking to Zoe Stevens down the line from Nuku'alofa. She went to Tonga for a weekend about 18 months ago, and as a result of the pandemic, she is still there at the moment. So, Zoe, after all this time, what is life like in Tonga now? How have you spent your time and filled your days?
I'd love to make it sound like super glamorous and that I do lots and lots, but in reality, it's just very chilled out life. I've definitely learned to kind of slow down and really get on board with Pacific lifestyle. Everything going a little bit slower than what you would usually probably deal with, like in Australia, in London, something like that. So my days consist of a lot of the time chilling on the beach, which is what I'm doing right now as I'm talking to you. I literally live right on the beach, but I'll walk my dogs. I'll do some gardening. I'll do some studying as well. I've done my master's since I've been here. I've been able to do that online, so that's been amazing. And otherwise, just keeping busy, picking up some work, swimming, and just enjoying Tonga's beauty and the local culture. Yeah.
And have there been opportunities for you to fly out of Tonga, potentially back to China or even back to the UK? And if so, what issues have arisen in your attempts to potentially go home?
So originally there was one flight, a repatriation flight for the Europeans in Tonga, and that was already in April last year. But I decided not to take that because I was never intending to go back to Europe. At this point, the pandemic, you know, we still didn't, no one knew how big it was going to get, and no one knew how long it would last for. And very naively, but I think like a lot of people, we all thought that, you know, it might be over as soon as it kind of came about. So I was never intending to go back to Europe, which is why I didn't get that flight. I was waiting back to China. And also I had all of my stuff still in Fiji and a massive suitcase in Fiji. Eventually I managed to get that sent over. A friend in Fiji managed to send that over to Tonga on one of the flights, repatriating Tongans from Fiji back into Tonga. So that has been really, really good having that luggage back. But originally I didn't go back to the UK because I'd left a lot of stuff, important stuff in Fiji, and I was trying to get back to China. And then throughout this time, throughout these few months, there have been possibilities for me to go back, but it's complicated because it's very, very difficult to try to plan your flight path because you have to basically fit in with all of the rules and regulations for transit through the different airports. So it's not permitted for me to transit through Australia. There are no flights to Australia anyway at the moment. New Zealand, you have to transit within 24 hours. And then, of course, the ongoing airport also has restrictions. So it's kind of a jigsaw puzzle. And it's difficult to fit in with all those restrictions. And that's good to get back to Europe because there is no possibility generally at all at the moment to get back into China. Even the Chinese here, there's a lot of Chinese people stuck here in Tonga that really need to get back home to China, but they're not able to. And that's because of China's strict entry requirements.
And yeah. Your story has been making international headlines now after you were featured in an article by CNN. But there's been a bit of criticism flowing around on social media as a result. Has that surprised you?
Sorry, I missed that last sentence. Can you just repeat that one?
No,
second?
Of
Sorry.
Course. There's been a bit of criticism of your situation after you were featured in an article in by CNN. Did that surprise you, that sort of backlash that you got?
No, it didn't surprise me, and I completely understand it. I mean, I think I've had a lot of positives and negative feedback from the local people here, and I think I completely understand it because it is very difficult for. I mean, I am an outsider, and I totally get that. I came to this country, and I didn't have friends or family or connections, and I didn't have work. I kind of came in here, and no one knew who I was, and I came in, and I think in the article, a lot of people think that I talk about my time in Tonga being boring and that I don't do much. But in reality, it's very difficult to be able to empathize and sympathize with the situation that you're not in yourself. And whilst, I mean, I feel so sorry for what's going on for everyone in Australia at the moment. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of your listeners hate me right now. And I'm saying I'm sitting on a beach talking to you, chilling out and stuff. And yes, of course, it's paradise here and Tonga's beautiful. But in reality, it's, you know, a lot of it's gone on in the background and there's been a lot of ups and downs. And it's hard to put yourself into that place when you're not in it yourself.
And I think a lot of people as well, like you're saying, also forget that you're isolated away from your friends, your family, you have no colleagues. So it can, I guess, for you be quite an isolating and lonely experience as well. No matter if you're in paradise or not, being alone can be quite difficult. But in saying that, you recently ran a 100-kilometer ultramarathon to raise funds for the Tonga Animal Welfare Society. So would you potentially say that you've gotten quite a strong bond now with the country that you're in?
Yeah, for sure. And I'll never forget that run. And yes, I'll never forget this country and the strong bond that I have with it. So, and running, in all honesty, running just came out of me trying to keep healthy, but also kind of trying to keep mentally sane whilst I was here in Tonga. As you said, it's incredibly isolating. And I'm a very, you know, outgoing and friendly person. I like to be around a lot of people. And when that was kind of taken away, especially, I mean, we had a 3-week lockdown here as well. And for me, it was just a kind of way to give myself goals and keep myself going. So I never ran before I came here to Tonga, actually, and have eventually kind of built up from 1 kilometer to 100, and wanted to raise some money for the animals of Tonga whilst I do so. So, yeah.
Well, Zoe, thank you so much for chatting with me and talking to me about your story and your experiences. I really appreciate your time, and hope that you do find your way back home, wherever that may be, in the next couple while.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. I'll send some sunshine to you from the beach here.
That would be fantastic. I know we in Melbourne here need that. But that was Zoe Stevens on the line from Nuku'alofa speaking to me about her story.